Coming up on podcast 1351, the Sony EV moves forward looking for partners with that. Stick around, I've got all the details. Also on the show today, question of the week at the end of today's podcast. Not quite enough answers to make it its own separate podcast, so we'll do what we used to do and put it at the end of the new show for Sunday. Tesla starting construction of a big supercharger, and why GM and Ford could be on the right track with making EVs. I'll tell you why. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Sunday 23rd of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Welcome to a new, mysteriously named Patreon producer, N. Simply N from Canada. I can see, obviously, this person's email address, etc., etc., on the back end of Patreon, which is confidential. I get to see that, but the name they've used to sign up, simply N from Canada. So, you know who you are. Thank you for being a new Patreon producer. And you can do the same. Either give your real name, a fake one, or just an initial. It's okay. Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. It's how we fund this podcast and get it on the air every single day. Quick mention as well. Tomorrow, we got the new, at least the first part of the new format of this show starting. So you will get a short EV News briefly first, and then later in the day, when I've done all my research and got some opinions on the stories, you'll get the usual 25-minute chit-chat with some of the things that we like to talk about, as always. So nothing's getting reduced, we're adding stuff, and of course it'll be in vision on YouTube, which so many people have asked for over the years as well. All right, let's get into the news. You know, the Japanese culture towards hydrogen has been around, you know, forever. Toyota are really into their fuel cell cars, and to the detriment, I think, of it's blinded them. They could have been leading with EVs right now. Heck, they had a deal with Tesla back in the day. But anyway, fast forward 2022, I wouldn't have expected Honda to be one of the ones that came out and said Toyota's commitment towards hydrogen is flawed. Honda's new CEO, Toshihiro Mibe, said that for at least Honda's part, they won't be using any more fuel cell technology with their passenger car vehicles. Of course, they have done in the past. They took a stab at it with the Clarity fuel cell. When you look at the brands, that the cars, the models that sit underneath the names of Toyota and Honda, they are the biggest sellers around the world. And so when Honda comes out and says, hey, look, we've had a look at this, a really hard look for the last 10 years, it's just not going to work. This is the quote from Automotive News Europe. We have conducted research into every possibility that's out there. As for hydrogen engines, we see some quite difficult technological challenges. So about 10 years ago, we decided it would not become mainstream. But Honda has a more balanced view of the situation, where Mibe believes the personal mobility, that electric powertrains will be the way to go. But aircraft, and maybe, you know, Honda does have a jet engine subsidiary. They'll be working on hydrogen in cases where the weight of batteries, at least in the short to midterm, is going to hold things back. Maybe even, you know, shipping and stuff like that. You know, maybe you can hydrogen. I'm not against hydrogen, just the idea of replacing one form of fueling our vehicles, where we are at the mercy of a select group of companies, the oil companies, where you have to go to them and they pay what they, you pay what they decide. Why would we want? We've got a generational opportunity to charge our cars potentially from the solar panels on your roof, if you have a house, you know, and you're not in an apartment or whatever. But and so many of these dark forces out there want us to swap from one system to the next system, where we all queue up for hydrogen and pay the price that they set, and that we are at their mercy. Hey, no thanks. It's not going to work. I don't want it to work. And Honda say, yeah, we agree. It is absolutely not working. It's amazing. And of course, Japanese, I say it's part of their kind of the culture, but it is really a kind of a political, governmental ideology where they just love hydrogen. For the new CEO of Honda to come out and say, nah, it's all right. Had a look. Not for us. Jog on, mate. That is enormous. So who does that leave? Well, the South Koreans are doing a bit of stuff. I think BMW and maybe Daimler have got some spending still. VW, of course, a long time ago, VW Group, Herbert Diess came out and said, no way is hydrogen going to work. And of course, it leaves Toyota. that want us all to drive hybrids until the point of which everyone wants to drive hydrogen vehicles. Good luck with that, Toyota. All right, let's stay in Japan, and Sony seeking new partners for their EV project. Sony will add new technology partners to their EV project to forge a mobility business that transforms cars from simply transport to entertainment spaces, a Sony executive told Reuters.com. The quote is this to Reuters: "We see the risk of ignoring EVs as greater than the challenge they pose," said Izumi Kawanishi, the senior general manager who will manage Sony's mobility business, in an interview according to Reuters.com. Hey, look, I'm going to read that again. That's mega. It's huge, isn't it? Like, I just wish that some certain people at other car companies could understand the power of that quote. "We see the risk of ignoring EVs as greater than the challenge they pose." Well, the coming transformation of cars is in a similar way as to how technology turned the humble telephone into something that we all have in our pocket. You know, it's never more than an arm's reach away, 24/7 for some people. Well, so far, Sony has built a couple of their EV prototypes with the Austrian company, or owned by the Canadian, ultimately are the owners, Magna. Magna makes stuff for BMW, Merck, Toyota. They make the Jaguar I-Pace. They're very, very good at those kind of small run hand-built stuff. But other members of the European project include Bosch. Sony are working with the French automotive tech company Valeo. And as I've mentioned recently, you know, Valeo do everything from e-bikes, the little Citroën Ami, all the way up to the motors that you'll find in the Mercedes-Benz EQS. The best of the best. So again, really great partners that Sony are working with. That project moves forward. No, obviously, steer on when we might get to see more about that car, but I can't wait. Now, let's talk Tesla, starting construction of their Santa Monica supercharger and the much-needed giant supercharger station at Santa Monica. The station was also going to have a 1950s-style retro restaurant, but now that appears up in the air. Electrek says, "Last year, we reported on construction plans for the Tesla's 62-stall supercharger. The project was approved in April last year. Elon Musk tweeted that there was going to be a 1950s diner at the location. Electrek was sent some pictures by a reader of theirs, noting that construction is now happening really fast. The location was only dirt a few weeks ago, and the company's already pouring concrete and putting a few of the supercharger stalls in." So I know that a lot of that, like, the people picked up on that story that Electrek published and really went with the whole kind of, oh, you know, the 1950s diner idea has been binned off. But I don't think that's the point of this story. I think, like, what gets me with this story is it's a 62-stall supercharger V3 station. They just don't do anything small-time, do they, at Tesla? Like, even the smallest supercharger stations, that's the smallest one you've seen. 6, 8 superchargers? And I'm trying to think, like, the small, not destination charging, supercharging stations. What's the smallest? Like, I guess I could look online at Supercharge website. But anyway, look, 62 stalls going in is just brilliant and mega and awesome. And I just don't think people pay enough attention to this, those generally that are looking at the third party hardware going in, where, look, certainly here, there'll be one or two DC fast chargers going in at a site. And then you look at Tesla, they're putting in 62. It's just incredible. It's amazing what they're doing. I love it. Right, let's talk about Tesla targeting Giga Austin now. We'll go to Austin and Texas. The Model Y deliveries by the end of the quarter. Numerous Model Ys are now in the car parks around Tesla Giga Austin, which is still being built, by the way. I'm not pretending that it's finished. There's bits of it that are looking more finished, but still. According to reports, Giga Austin is now in pre-production of the Model Y, and the first customers could get theirs at the end of the quarter. Inside EV says the only a small number of the Texan-built Model Ys could get to customers this quarter, but that does pave the way for a ramp in quarter two. So by the summer, seeing some better numbers coming out of Giga Austin. They'll feature, of course, the 2170 cells, unless there is a way that the pilot line in California has reached a quality and yield they're happy with, and those first cars could have the new tech. I'm not reading anything online from all the various sources I look at that suggests it's going to be anything but a year away, because the Cybertruck can't happen until the 4680 cells are right. Like, the specs they gave for the Cybertruck aren't impossible without their technology. So that, and we know it's coming. It's coming down the road, but it's not here yet. So I don't know. I reckon there'll be the 2170 cells going into the Model Y at Austin. Would love to be proven wrong, but we'll wait and see. And coming up very soon, we'll talk about your answers to question of the week and why General Motors and Ford, as much as some people would like them to be working a little bit quicker, could be working in a way that is probably for the best, and I'll tell you why that's on the way. Now, let's talk about the Maple Leaf. That's an EV brand under Geely, and it has nothing to do with the Nissan Leaf. Maple Leaf is a brand, a joint venture between Geely and Lifan. Geely is also the biggest shareholder. So the Maple Leaf, the car is called the 60S. It will be launched in February. It uses a 136 horsepower motor, has 100 kilowatts, permanent magnet synchronous motor, for those that are interested in things like that. It uses a battery pack, which they say is good for 415 kilometers on any DC, so, you know, maybe half that. No, not quite, but still, you know, two-thirds of that. That could be 250, 275 kilometres, and that's kilometres, so in miles. Maybe this is 150-mile EV. But also the battery pack is rechargeable and exchangeable. That's like the quote they're giving. So you can either charge it up, they say, for a 30-minute DC fast charge session, or their new battery swap technology that Geely have, which is a 60-second battery swap, which is insanely fast. Look, this car is probably going to be, and it's, when you look at the styling, it's kind of like, trying to not be too down on it, but it's kind of like a Toyota Corolla or maybe a Camry from the 1990s. It's, you're not going to look at that and go, whoa, look at that, it's lovely, that is. Oh, I want that, it's lovely. It's going to be cabs, it's going to be ride-hailing companies in China, it's going to be taxis, it's going to be a practical car that's probably going to be pretty good and cheap as well. And of course, if you're a taxi driver and you can change your battery in 60 seconds, bish, bash, bosh, you're on your way, everyone's a winner, right, with that. Right, let me tell you why I think GM and Ford could be doing it the right way with their EV strategy, doing it the old-fashioned way, the way that my grandparents would have done it, and that is with cash in the bank and not using debt. Detroit's automakers have actually got a very old-fashioned financial strategy in the year 2022 to make their EVs. Every check they write, they're doing it with cash. General Motors and Ford, between them investing like $65 billion. It's eye-watering. GM is, you know, all of these numbers just get raised every 5 minutes, it seems, but at last count, GM's about $35 billion, Ford's about $30 billion promised to spend. Some of them call it EVs and autonomy, some just kind of call it EV spending. But all of that, so far, is going to be from free cash flow. They're not going to borrow any of it. It's because their operating cash flow is really, really good in those two companies, reducing the risk over time, boosting their stock price, and actually doing it in a very sensible way. At the same time, both companies held on to cash over the last 2 years. They suspended dividends. They suspended their share buybacks, their repurchases. According to CNBC.com, the companies have cut billions in annual costs by slashing whole lines of unprofitable models, withdrawing from overseas markets, and focusing tightly on trucks. Very, very profitable part of both businesses. Well, CNBC says that analysts expect Ford to report about $36 billion in revenue. That's up 75%. GM forecasting about, they say, for the full year, $14 billion in earnings before they have to pay taxes and what have you. That's up from $11.5 billion previously predicted. They're doing this with money that their combustion cars are bringing in. Now, I want to bring you this story just so that I can, you know, as I say semi-regularly, I feel quite sorry for the established, some call them legacy, I think that's possibly derogatory, the legacy OEMs. In a really short amount of time, they have to navigate their way to electric vehicles. In a way, being a startup is easier. If Tesla want to raise more money, and they don't, they're cash flow positive, they're paying down debt really quickly. If Tesla wanted to raise cash, as they have done, whether it was a $10 billion raise, I don't know, this is not a financial podcast, but quite recently, they can go to the markets, dilute the shareholdings a little bit, and raise that cash. In fact, Tesla was built on debt, and as they point out, paid back all of that federal government money in full and more, so, which others didn't. But Tesla was built on debt. This is the way the startup was. They were veering from crisis to crisis. And, you know, to watch, according to one documentary, days away, hours away. Was it Christmas Eve? They were hours away 1 year from the company not being able to pay their bills and going under. My goodness me, people have got short memories. This was only 5 minutes ago in the grand scheme of things. And now, look what they've done. It's amazing. And people give the established car companies a really hard time. And I have some sympathy because they have all of these cars which are making money, and they know they've got to go EV. And they're really good at making ICE cars, and some of them aren't very good at making EVs. But the point is that these older combustion cars will fund EVs. So as much as it sounds weird to say, if you want as many big, strong companies in the year 2030, the likes of your Fords and your General Motors around the world, to be these big EV makers, you kind of have to hope that someone somewhere is looking at the new Ford F-150 diesel truck and going, you know, who hates EVs, and going like, absolutely, I'm buying one of those because they're so profitable and make them so much money. It's a weird thing. They need those sales. I don't really want anyone to buy them anymore, but I kind of still do. Hey, I'll pop a link to that full story. It's kind of a long read, actually, in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Now, question of the week time with emobilitynorway.com. Not the busiest of weeks, actually, not the busiest of answers, which I'm surprised about. Still plenty enough to pop into the end of the podcast, as we always used to, but not enough for a standalone show. What advertising have you seen for EVs recently, which you noticed and thought was memorable? Now, maybe just people don't think it's very memorable and they didn't bother to email me. Byron Dietrich, or Dietrich? I think it'd be Dietrich, says, I'm loving the new BMW adverts on TV with Coldplay. I'm not a BMW fan, but the adverts did get my attention. And Max Mahaz says, I've recently seen the BMW commercial with Coldplay and I really like it. It's amazing. Two people emailed about the same commercial. And I'm guessing from your surnames, possibly that's showing in Germany. I'm not sure. Nick says, I've not seen any ads for an EV, but I see the ads for Hertz advertising the new Teslas. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, right. They're also renting them out as well. Okay, of course. And so they want to advertise the fact that you can get EVs with Hertz rentals. That's interesting. Tomas, no H, says, hi, Martin. Can't remember the last time I bought a newspaper or watched TV. So this is all digital stuff that I've seen, but I've just seen two ads this week. The first is for Fisker and the ocean, and the second is Toyota advertising a self-charging hybrid. I thought these ads were banned here in Norway. Maybe it doesn't apply to Instagram and Facebook. And that raised my eyebrows, since we all remember there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. And he sent me screenshots of the ads, and indeed, that's what Toyota are still pushing in Norway. Maybe it's just maybe they got different rules for TV and digital. Yeah, they got banned by calling it a self-charging hybrid, but possibly just TV. I don't know. But yeah, he sent me a screenshot, and they're still doing it. Why are we not surprised? Elijah says, I know it's not an advert, but it seems to me the best advert for the EV community is Tesla. They don't spend any money on advertising, and yet I see them everywhere. And anytime Elon Musk says anything, it gets reported far and wide. Even if it's not the most positive of things, at least everyone knows what a Tesla is. That's a really good point, actually, Elijah. So you could count Tesla's huge effort to create a fan base as part of their advertising, certainly as part of their marketing costs. Shaz Moody says, years ago, Tesla had a competition or initiative to create TV ads for them. It's where I first heard of Bjørn Nyland. Yeah, me too, actually. I remember the first thing I heard about Bjørn was he pinned, I think it might even still be pinned, as the first video that you see on his YouTube channel, he created an ad for Tesla. I mean, goodness me, maybe 10 years ago or something. They had some sort of initiative where they wanted their early buyers of Model S's to create a TV ad for them, obviously just to put on the internet at the time. But he made it. I think he's got picked by Tesla. And that's kind of really where I first heard of him. I think he was making videos about combustion cars before then. And you know, completely. Both of those last two emails really do point to something that Tesla have been amazing at, which is to create this momentum behind the company where they don't need to buy traditional TV adverts or big adverts in a magazine or newspaper because people are doing all the work on the ground for them. Peter says, I just saw an Opel Mokka TV ad and I remembered it because I noticed the car, but they don't say anything about it. The whole advert is some young hipsters using the Opel Mokka to go partying on a night out. But they don't actually tell you anything about the car. It's just there in the advert. Yeah. And that leads on to Neil's one. Now, Neil Reynolds says, when I was looking out for the Ioniq 5, I remember seeing an ad. It was set in London. All the streets were empty, and it even talked about lockdown and what was happening at the time. It featured the London Eye as the big letter Q at the end of the word Ioniq, and they used the London Eye for that. But the car wasn't even in it. And he's like, oh, hang on a minute. I haven't seen that one, but it wouldn't surprise me. So much car advertising is either based around it'll make the opposite sex want to sleep with you more, or it just looks like a perfume ad or an aftershave ad where you're like, it's all fancy and it's fantastic. It looks like a little 30-second movie, but where's the damn car? But obviously it works for the legacy car makers, but in EV world, people are like, just tell me how to charge the damn things. Like, EVs are new. Now, Beck in Oregon says, there was a Porsche Taycan ad years ago which had it driving through a museum of old 911s and 928s, and they woke up as the Taycan drove past and sort of gave them electricity with the dashboards and the lights coming on. The Taycan then speeds off into a tunnel. I thought this was brilliant. Yeah, and I agree with you, actually. Porsche have done a really good job at playing into their heritage. One of the things that was interesting is that Polestar, obviously Polestar's been around for years as the Volvo performance tuning house, if you like. And Kyle, who has Outer Spec Studios, Kyle Connor, my buddy from the Inside EVs podcast, was saying a few weeks ago that he walked into one of the, or he saw a pic or something, he saw the Polestar space, and literally their slogan is, "We have no heritage." It's like, firstly, that's a weird thing to say, "We have no heritage," because obviously they're trying to look like a startup. And also, you've got loads of it. Polestar Volvos are brilliant. Like, just lean into that. Anyway, I digress. That's our question of the week this week. I really enjoyed it, even though it wasn't the busiest one. Then again, it was coming off the back of last week where I was asking you for what we can do with this podcast. And that was, well, I mean, we're like just tons of emails every day. So, hey, clearly my expectations were higher after last week, but that's still cool. Right, let's hit a brand new question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Tom Malogny's Lucid Air 70-mile-an-hour range test yielded exactly 500 miles on a 70-mile-an-hour non-stop range test. So, I want to know from you in 2022, do you need 500 miles in an EV? Do you need 500 miles in an EV? Now, what's interesting about this question is, of course, for some people the answer is yes. For some the answer is no. And for some people who want to promote EVs, like myself, I would say yes, because it puts to bed the doubts in some people that you can't go, like, you know, a long way in an EV. But anyway, so the Lucid Air is now the number one by a long way, because Tom also tested the Tesla Model S Plaid on the 21-inch wheels, I must admit, and he got exactly 300, which is 200 miles less than the Lucid on a single charge of battery. Now, I think the Tesla Model S Plaid, I think he put about 91 kilowatt hours out of that battery from 100% to zero, and he also pulled 117 kilowatt hours from the Lucid. So the Lucid has a much bigger battery, like a 20% bigger battery than the Model S, but also it does 200 miles more and has better efficiency. So asking you, do EVs need to go 500 miles? What do you think? Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. As always, thanks to our Patreon supporters, our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley's EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs and picking up his two Model Ys very soon, and emobilitynorway.com. Hi to our partners, David and Lisa Allen. Hi to Bob Boothby from the Millbrook Cottages. They are 5-star gold self-catering cottages. Hi to Jukka Kukkonen from shift2electric.com with the number 2. Hi to Rajiv Narayan and Michael Lumley, and all of our executive producers, Adam Bruton, Adrian Bond, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andy Nancaro and Lillian Cass, Asir Khalid and Bjard Fugstak, Bill Calhoun, Blunderbuss Jones, Brian O'Leary, Brian Thompson, hello my friend, Bruce Bohannon, Chad Lane, Charles Hall, Christopher Bath, Colin Hennessy and Cam's EV, and Craig Rogers, David Dysert, David Finch, David Partington and David Prescott, DCEV and Don McAllister at Screencasts on online.com. Ed Cortin, Eddie Ragazza, Eric Hansen, Eriuki Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, and George Totrollo. Hi to Heinrich Leisner, Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, Ian Sear, Jacob Kuhn, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Javier Camelo, Diaz Perez, Jim Morris, John Schroeder, John Vandervoort, and John Beardy McVidface at Ken TV's, John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Mason, Kester Sandbach, Lawrence D. Allen, Luke Brown, Luke Cully, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, Mark Richards, Marty Young, Matty Yukimo, Mike Winter, Mike Wise, Nathan Gore Brown, Nathaniel Friedman, Neely Roberts from Sussex EVs, Ohad Aston, Paul Stevenson, also Pete Bremmy, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raj Badwell, Raymond Rowledge, Realtors Choice Photography, Rene Kimmick, Rob from the RS Thinks EV channel on YouTube, Robbie NY, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas Cook, Thomas ATS, Timothy Phillips, Todd Oakes, and the Plug Seekers EV YouTube channel. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.